Welcome back once again to the Quality Time Pod. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and man, this episode we got some good Joe Robinson corrections, and we even added a special voicemail he left us, so some good Joe Robinson audio up in this one, keeping us honest here at the pod. There's stories about anime conventions, and we have our special guest, Mr. Daniel Crabb, who joins us for the entire episode, and spoiler alert, maybe next week's episode as well. If I could implore you, though, to hop on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on, drop us a 5-star rating, man. We'd really appreciate it, and helps us out tremendously. It costs you absolutely nothing. Now, without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for The Hitcher.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality time, video games, all the films, comedy and adventures. Quality time, video games, all the films, comedy and adventures.
Awesome. You always like to be last, is what
exactly.
You're saying.
I prefer...
Nice yeah. Guys finish last.
Yeah, I don't even have sex anymore.
That is depressing.
When was the last time you had intercourse, Jeremy? Was it this year?
I think it's been at least 2 months.
2 months?
Shit, it's been over a year for me.
Maybe three.
Yeah. I mean, are we playing cards here?
It's really bad when you're, like, married, so...
Yeah.
There isn't any excuse other than I'm a loser.
Hell yeah. That rocks. Well, even if things were going well, that doesn't matter.
No, if I had money, I'd be having sex every week.
You think so? That's
Fuck
all it needs?
Yeah. I'd just throw that money in her and just say, do it.
You like...
do it.
So you believe in just paying for your affection. I like that.
That's the way the world works.
That's it.
That's the Epstein way. What did you get?
Scorpion Bowl.
You getting
IPA.
Fancy beers and you didn't even tell me?
You said you had all your beers. If you want a fancy beer, go walk your ass over there and go get it, Sleepy Pie.
I'm not getting up.
All right, well, next time I get up, you want a beer? Do you want me to get you a fancy one?
Yeah, next time.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth. Thank you very much for joining us once again. And this week we got a special guest. Make sure your mic's turned on. I'm not 100% sure it is.
I can hear him.
I think it is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you're good. Hey, welcome. We have a comedian, a buddy, and fan of the show, Daniel Crabb, everyone. Daniel, how are you,
Hello.
Sir?
Thanks.
I like
I'm
it.
Good.
I'm glad that you're here. You've mentioned to me multiple times how you listen to the show. I think you're the first person that's ever been on the show that actually listens. That's not true. Joe Robinson listens. Everybody else just reluctantly comes on, and then is this like a dream come true for you? Is this where you're like, man?
It's been a whirlwind weekend for me, and this is like icing on the cake right now.
Huh? What have you been up to this weekend, man?
Well, yesterday I was at Otakon in Washington.
Oh, yeah. How was that? Otakon,
cool.
Right? You do Otakon. You don't say Otakon. I thought it was Otakon.
Otakon's the dude from Metal Gear Solid. The doctor, the scientist.
You are correct.
And, like, Otakon. That's the way to pronounce it, I guess.
I guess I've heard it pronounced both ways. But I defer.
Because I've been there.
You.
So it's a whole festival just for Metal Gear Solid?
Yes.
I did see a guy dressed up as Solid Snake there yesterday.
Ah.
Just one guy, though.
So did you cosplay yourself? Well, tell our listeners, first of all, what Otakon is.
It's like an anime convention. It's probably the simplest way to put it.
There's it's pretty
like
dope, yeah.
Japanese culture.
Yeah, I think we... Yeah.
I remember 20 years ago, the first real anime fan I met... It's a big fat guy who did computer work, and I said, "Oh, you're a fan of Japanimation." He was like, "Fuck you.
We don't call it Japanimation.
It's called hentai."
I was like, "Oh, you like the things with like young girls that are like 12 years old but really large breasts." So.
Yeah, like yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of that there too. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I introduce our other guest from week to week, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth?
I know not what you talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's joining us?
It is I only do eyes. I did Rutger Hauer's eyes.
Oh, okay. You did Rutger Hauer's eyes.
Only eyes.
I don't know what you're talking about. Even I'm lost on this.
Where is
one.
This going?
I do the replicant's eyes in Blade Runner.
Oh, you're Udo Kier?
Yeah,
is that
I'm
who
Udo
you are?
Kier.
Okay, Udo Kier. I got it, finally.
And the gallbladder.
Okay, we got yes. gallbladder Udo Kier up in the audience. I think this is
Loved
the first
you in
time.
In order to know life, you have to fuck the gallbladder.
This isn't the first time you've done Udo Kier. I think if we go back in the archives, we could find
it's
another
like
episode.
I was actually doing the Japanese man from Blade Runner that does the eyes.
Oh, okay,
Roy,
gotcha.
So,
you know, I haven't watched.
So, by the way, he's coming to a show.
The Blade Runner Asian man.
Yes, he is old as. And I think it was also he was the lead bad character in Big Trouble Comes to Little China.
He's the main old guy.
Main old guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. That guy. Yeah, he's yep. He rocks, dude. He rocks. I like that guy and his creepy ass eye. I like it. Okay, well, so Otakon, you're there. You didn't cosplay yourself.
No, a lot of people were, though.
Do people just walk up to you and you're like, "Fucking Michael Chiklis from The Shield, nice." If you haven't seen Daniel Crabb, he looks very much. I've always said you look like very much like Michael Chiklis, but like a friendlier, more approachable
version. I'm a handsome-looking thumb.
Yeah,
that's the best way to put it.
I said Mr. Awesome from Mike Tyson's Punch Out when it got changed.
Mr. Awesome, who's Mr. Awesome?
The last guy that you fight.
No, you're thinking of Super Punch Out, and that would be the. That would be. I guess it is Nick Fury or Nick Awesome and Rick. No, Nick and Rick Bruiser. That's what
Bruiser?
They're called. They're the Bruisers. Those are the last two
Bruiser
in Super
Boys?
Punch Outs. There's
wasn't he originally Mr. Awesome when they replaced Tyson?
So in the original one, yeah, maybe no, there was a Mr. Something that replaced Mike Tyson in the original, right. But I don't think it was Awesome.
It's Mr. Dream, I think.
Now Mr.
Dream.
Yeah, Mr. Dream, that's correct. Mm. Now
I think it still looked like Tyson though.
No, he wore like a pink mask with like a star on it, I'm pretty sure. Oh. And very, very deadly still. Very dead. You know, I watched a video of a guy who could beat Mike Tyson's punch out with his blindfolded. He plays the whole game. I watched it. And he gets to Mike Tyson. He's like, "I don't think I beat Mike Tyson blindfolded because there's a random algorithm." Like, he's speaking about, like the code of how the game works. He's like, "So pretty much I just have to guess what the animation's going to be. And it's pretty impossible. It's like I have to hit heads or tails like 50 times in a row correctly to win this match, but I'll try." And he gets knocked out. He's like, "Okay," and he puts in the code and then beats him immediately with his eyes unblindfolded. Like, that guy clearly has a lot of sex is what I'm getting at. Like, he's just
drowning in it.
The puss is just so fucking wet as he's blindfolded playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out. So you're at Otakon. Let me take you back there. DC. Was it the Gaylord or was it the
No, it was at the convention center.
Okay, at the convention center.
Yeah.
Now what was the coolest cosplay that you did see there?
What was that? I don't know. There was a lot going on.
What did you see the most cosplays of? Because when we were there, we saw...
Kara Nicole Power Girl.
What?
Yeah, Power Girl is a big
girl. Oh, yeah,
is a big
she's the one with the largest breasts.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. She's actually like a clone of Supergirl. But they gave her bigger tits for...
Because she's better, right?
Have you ever heard her song?
Yeah.
Am I about to?
Now You See Me.
No, I have seen the girl who... Jeremy's making a reference that none of our listeners are going to understand.
It's so horrible.
Oh, the actress that sings... Oh, okay.
Well, there's a girl who cosplays at her that Jeremy hasn't... He doesn't explain what he's talking about, but there's a very horrible girl that... she's got big hoots, but she cosplays as Power Girl, and then she has an album that she's trying to put out, and it's not good music. I mean, it's really bad, but she's...
It's only because she
pretty.
Can't sing.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's
only because she can't sing.
So she's better seen than heard, okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I did see a lot of hentai, like onesies, and hentai, like hoodies.
Okay.
So it's just pictures of girls covered in like animated girls that are just covered in white liquid, mouths agape.
Mm.
Do you walk around with a big handful of sandwich meats just to throw at them?
I don't understand why that would.
That's what I do when I do my cosplay. So
did you like? Because we went to, I think it was Otakon. We did it at the Gaylord. Me and Laughfinder went up there.
That must have been MAGFest. No, I was talking to Tommy. And
it wasn't MAGFest. I know that. Okay. It was anime, and I think it was.
KatsuCon.
It was KatsuCon. You're right. We went to KatsuCon back in the winter, and while we were there, we saw a lot of people that were cosplaying as either My Hero Academia or JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
A couple of those. Not as much. I know it's getting real popular. I've watched it.
Have you ever watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
It is weird.
It's
bizarre.
It's weird in the terms of Japanese animation being weird. Like, which is already weird. This takes it, we're like, oh, you think this is weird?
Yeah.
Like, it makes hentai seem like regular pornography. That's how fucking weird it is.
My favorite con is actually the Milo and Otis con.
The
weird thing is,
do you ever show up as like other Dudley Moore films to like throw him off?
Yeah, a lot of people like to be what's his name, Arthur from the movie Arthur.
Oh, look at me, I'm awesome. Yeah. It's a pug, but it's Arthur, so you're drunk Dudley Moore, but you're also a pug.
Wait, Dudley Moore was awesome in Milo and Otis?
Yeah, he's the voice of like everybody in Milo and Otis. Have you ever listened? Like, it's all Dudley Moore doing the voiceover.
I feel like I've
movie.
Always seen the box art for Milo and Otis. I've never seen it.
Well, it's a great film. It's really it's
a pug and a kitten.
Yeah, and they go on adventures, and it was actually filmed in Japan, oddly enough. Really, also bringing back into the anime thing. So why we should have Milo and Otis Con
after the movie? They killed the animals and ate them.
Yeah.
So. It was the saddest rat party ever.
That's what you get on the extended DVD cut. Is just the market where they're just giving out scores like meow meow like this, and that's where I had to eat my friend Otis. Like, oh no, Otis, it's you on a stick. How ridiculous do you look right now?
Why did we trust foreigners to make a movie?
Oh man, so that was cool. So Otakon overall success.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Good times. No giant people dressed as like a mech. You didn't see anything fucking crazy.
I think I did
crazy.
See some people dressed as like a mech type thing.
Like, I like when I see the guy who has the full suit that looks like an actual fucking Megazord that they're just walking around in.
There was a dude dressed as a Pyramid Head from Silent Hill.
Oh, that's tight. Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I've seen that guy before at Monster Mania.
I went.
He's very buff.
Now, when I was at KatsuCon, I dressed as Colonel Sanders, but I also had a lightsaber, and I called myself Jedi Sanders, and I was a big hit amongst the KatsuCon fan base.
Nice.
It was really popular.
Most folks like my special chicken.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, we had Aaron Henkin with us from WYPR. Shout out. He was with us. It was his first convention he'd ever been to of any kind, and... he was using the Japanimation. He was throwing that out from time to time. We're like, whoa, 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 you don't say that. And we're like, what do you mean? He was like, I thought it was Japanese and Japanimation. We're like, whoa, you don't understand. That's like saying colored fountains here. You can't just throw that out here. It's anime now. Although I do have some old Fangorias upstairs in the old shitter that Jeremy so graciously lent to my household so we can hand down to my children. And in there, there's like little tearaways where you can order Japanimation. It actually says like in the thing. You can,
Japanimation?
Yeah.
When did it become like something that was uncolorful to say because it says Japan and animation together? Those two things.
I guess it's just not used anymore.
Syllables. Like, anime is just, boom, two syllables, you're good.
Yeah, is it racist to say it now? I got the implication that it's racist to say.
Everything is racist now. Like, the...
I'm even scared to ask where you guys stand on the N-word at this
tonight
point.
Tonight on Oriental Crime. The Oriental Crimes in the Neighborhood.
So, Jeremy, one thing I wanted to get into tonight. Now, months ago, I felt like I threw this out here with no expectation of what was going to happen, and I felt like you kind of ran with it. I said, hey, you know, in your downtime, why don't you maybe write some drops for the 98 Rock Morning Show?
And I think I did a great job.
Well, we're gonna be the judge of it in a second here. Jeremy went in, Daniel, just so I could let you know.
Okay.
I posed Jeremy this question. I was like, he was like thinking of ways that you could be on, maybe get on 98 Rock. And I was like, hey, why don't you write him some music? I'll pass it on to Justin, and we'll see what happens, okay? Yeah. Now, this is radio we're talking about. This is, you know, public
major
terrestrial.
Major market radio
right here.
I want interspace radio that goes out into space and never comes back.
Wait, interspace radio, is that the radio that Martin Short uses inside of Dennis Quaid?
I possess! Well, it's actually radio that they had to fire off at a satellite on only gold discs.
Yes.
It never came back, dude.
So Jeremy went and made some music for the 98 Rock Morning Show, and this is what it was about 9 songs. I feel like you got a little obsessive compulsive. I was expecting like 1 or 2.
3 of them were.
Jeremy made 9 songs. Okay?
Giving a lot of options.
3 of them weren't promos that were just joke songs for the 3 members of Justin, Scott, and Spiegel.
But here's an example of this is what Jeremy said to the radio station to see if it could get played. Okay, and we'll go for Daniel. We'll look for your.
We're gonna go with
to
the dirty versions on every one, right?
Who's gonna be the listener of the bar? You, motherfucker. Yeah. Who's gonna be the listener of the bar? Gonna be you, motherfucker. Yeah. All 98 Rock.
So I don't know.
You
if
cut
that...
those motherfuckers out of there. That's a solid drop right
pretty
there.
Pretty sure they could play that on the radio.
All right. Well, maybe that was the one joke one, right?
See,
let's see.
Now, I edited.
Knowing how Jeremy is,
I edited that out because instead of what I wanted to say was, "Is it going to be you, you fucking cunt?"
Yeah. So you didn't want to. Again, you didn't want to be.
I cleaned it up.
You just didn't want to be ridiculous.
I know they won't play cunt on the radio. That's a bad word.
Well, let's just explore some of the other music that you made. I mean, maybe I think we're going to turn it around with this one.
So far, really good, really good. Just those motherfuckers, they're not gonna. I'd say put that on the radio right now, but.
You make
people
me the program director.
Motherfucker.
I'm in.
I really meant to say cunt. Women.
Now, I will say, Jeremy, you didn't do all F words in all the songs, but this one about Josh Spiegel, I actually really enjoyed. I'd say out of all of the songs that you made, this is the strongest.
The ones
of
where
them.
I call you your friend Justin Gay.
Yes, so the person that we sent it to. Okay.
I wrote this song about you. I said you're gay.
Yeah, there's a song where he just calls Justin Gay like 3 times. Anyway, but the one for Josh Spiegel, the news genius from 98 Rock, you actually did a really good job on this song. I think out of all of them, this one probably deserved, you know.
Is that the one where you had to redo the lyrics because the lyrics were a little light?
They were no, that was Justin
them?
You had to do.
Oh, okay.
But this one actually turned out really perfect. This is the Josh Spiegel song, and honestly, I think some of your better work that you did. Now, if you hadn't packaged this, if you had just sent this song, I think we probably would have had a better chance here. But instead, we sent it all, and it was maybe a bit much. Again, 9 songs. You're only at 3 right now.
It's
9 songs.
I think the Scott producer song was pretty good, too.
It was not. He's not a producer anymore. He just calls him Scott the producer multiple times.
He is called
Scott
the producer. I know he was called that at one time.
Yeah, when the last show, 8 years ago. That's
so you've been on for like, what, 2 or 3 years now? I mean,
it's been like 5 years Justin's been at the helm.
Really?
Can I ask, though, did you send a song in that says, like, oh, listen to Elliot and Diane?
You're listening to Elliot in the morning on 98 Rhyme, another fucker, yeah. That would have been good. Here's the news genius. This is your song tribute to the news genius Joshua Spiegel.
Josh Spiegel, winner of 3 Murrow Awards. Josh Spiegel, been on 98 for 14 years, yeah. Josh Spiegel, most Jewish man on 98 Rock. Josh Spiegel.
Where was the guitar, Phil?
Josh Spiegel! Huh. able to rip a 6 second fart into Josh Spiegel. Lover of dogs from far from Dumpernickel, Josh Spiegel. Like a shirt in when I'm walking 498, Josh Spiegel. Love it when he gave my clown car to Amelia.
Ripping some guitar licks during this.
Josh Spiegel!
You say it's not perfect?
Josh Spiegel! Judge of the Time Machine Trivia! Josh Spiegel!
Maybe it's only the Justin one that has it.
This is, by the way, the completely different song you made for Justin Schlegel, okay?
Exactly the same.
This is the radio today, Justin Schlegel. Working the board with sounds and my music, Justin Schlegel. Many is being like a G.I. Joe toy, Justin Schlegel.
That's weird.
Very, very gay and has sex with his wife.
So that was... I don't know why Justin wouldn't just immediately put that on the air.
I didn't know he wasn't married to the woman that he has a child
that
with.
That was where you messed up. You're right.
What do I
that
know? Was I'm sorry. It's the 90s now, so I don't know the way people live.
It's,
you know?
Clacks.
Yeah, so...
Jeremy, I thought they were great, and I did get some feedback from Justin. He really loved it. He really loved all this music that you made. It was just, when it was brought to the round table, it didn't make the cut. And I think it's just, I think with the audio quality that we had,
it
wasn't as strong.
Do you think it was because of the Scott Reardon song?
I don't think it helped. I don't think the Scott Reardon song helped, where you called him Scott the producer when he's been an on-air personality for like 7 years now.
He's just like the fill-in guy. He's not even like funny. Just because Mickey left, he's there.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. Okay. Well, I happen to like Mr. Reardon a lot. He was very
nice.
At first,
I
didn't like... At first, I thought he didn't like me, but we had some fun times at the Magoobies Joe cast, and I felt like he kind of opened up to me. It was very nice.
Yeah, when I complimented, Justin Schlegel how funny he is, how much I loved him, Scott Reardon sent me back a message saying that I was the less talented Woodworth brother.
Oh, so maybe it was this out of spite that you did this?
Why would I be spiteful about something like that? No, he's great. Scott the producer is the best.
Well, listen, I've always said you're the more talented brother out of the two of us. Amy, we don't know. She maybe has
You don't have to call me the more talented brother. I just prefer to be called the more insane brother. That's all I want.
And so. Jeremy, you prove that day in, day out with us. I believe that.
So you're going to play the Scott Reardon one?
Do you want the Scott Reardon one? I wasn't going to, but I will.
I really want to hear that one.
Okay, you want to hear the Scott? This is the one I think.
It's hard to tell it's different than the others, though.
Oh,
let's
it is?
See. Scott.
Now, did you play all the guitar on these?
Nice. Yes, I did.
Okay, so here's the Scott Reardon one right here.
Scott Reardon, he's a producer. Scott Reardon, a producer for Maggie Rock. Yeah. Scott Reardon, he produces stuff. Scott Reardon, and he's the other guy.
Oh man, that's a good guitar solo right there.
Scott Reardon. He's a producer. Scott Reardon.
I'm surprised this didn't make air. This would be good for the morning show, I think.
It's pretty much the same as the other two.
Scott Reardon. He's a producer on 98 Rock. Yeah. He produces things. Yeah. Scott Reardon.
Strong. That was strong, Jeremy. Very strong.
Too bad the Josh Spiegel one didn't have some ripping guitar, though.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we could remaster that one, and that'll.
Maybe
be...
I could. Maybe I could redo the whole thing in Yiddish and try to make it sound like more Jewish guitar playing as well.
More so. Jewish. You may be
double
more Jewish-y.
Jewish.
Are you gonna do a guitar solo of like Fiddler on the Roof?
Exactly, but
guitarist on the roof,
but all in binary code. On off 01011100000111. Sorry, it's the computer geeks will love that joke. I'm not like I do it in hexadecimal.
We do have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
Okay, so there's two corrections, and this is the first time I'm pretty excited about this one, Jeremy. I got corrected.
You undid a correction.
I undid a correction, a Joe Robinson correction. Okay,
and how smart you are, Woodworth.
I painted him into a corner, and he had no way out. And this is the first time I've ever gotten
it.
Now he goes, "You think this is in regards to our last episode, The Bicycle Man?" Now, if you're listening, just two episodes ago,
what we call the most masturbatable episode.
Oh man, yeah, that's what I called it. So he goes, Joe Robinson. This is on a Tuesday, the day after the episode came out. He goes, "You think Sports Illustrated had a shoe phone? ? How the fuck do you mix up Sports Illustrated with Get Smart?" And then I sent him the YouTube link.
Yeah. When I listen to the episode and you're like, "Sports Illustrated fun," I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he got it right
football,
away.
Right? Or
exactly.
Basketball.
No, yeah. No, they had a Sports Illustrated shoe phone, and it is probably one of the cringiest commercials you can ever watch. Here he goes.
"We're here at an athletic shoe store to see people's reactions to this sneaker phone from Sports Illustrated. Now, the only thing is, we're not going to show it to them. We're going to let them discover it for themselves. Come on."
It's on the shoe rack.
What the fuck is this?
The sneaker's ringing.
Oh!
There's something like that. Did they all ring?
How do you get a load of this?
Even black people can answer it.
You like that?
Yeah.
A sneaker phone, that's great.
The cringe level of how excited everyone is to find this speaker, the shoe.
Like, they're all
is
white,
amazing.
They all have glasses except for that one black guy.
Yeah.
Who also had glasses. It's a phone? What the?
Honey, get over here. You're not going to believe what I'm talking into right
Jeez.
Now.
Jeez.
Holy shit.
Golly.
So, dudes. Do yourself a favor and check out the Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
I don't think the commercial was diverse enough. I preferred a guy in there with like an Eskimo outfit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I like that like everybody in that commercial looks like they have sex with their underwear on. Like they just slip it through the fucking slit. Like they're like, "Nope, honey, I gotta remain calm. I don't like pube to touch." Now, he also said one other thing. He goes, "The cure isn't good." That was Joe Robinson's other.
Gay.
That was Joe Robinson's other correction. That was it. Those were our two for the Bicycle Man episode.
Well, no.
Here is a bonus Joe Robinson correction that I received via voicemail the other day. Forgot to throw it in the regular show, so you're not going to get commentary from everybody on this one. But I thought it was important to share with you guys and, you know, keep us honest here at the Quality Time Pod.
There's legitimately no way to type this correction. So I just gave you a text about the minute 34 mark. Here's what happens. Jeremy calls Conrad Bain Robert Conrad when he's discussing what's said at the beginning of the episode. Then, when he says his name Conrad Bain, Jeremy cracks up and says, "Oh my God, I said Conrad Brooks," which he didn't say. "You said, who's Conrad Brooks? The guy from the Carol Burnett Show?" Which, of course, I believe you're referring to Lyle Wagner, who looks like Robert Conrad, who was the initial person that Jeremy said. Meanwhile, he thought he said Conrad Brooks, which is some B-list actor that was in Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Now, to be honest, the Conway I was thinking of from the Carol Burnett show was Tim Conway, which only confuses this correction even more. But good catch, Joe. We really appreciate the hard work. Now back to the regular show. Sound effect.
Watching Cruising. So
Cruising. Now the
special pick. Make eye contact.
Well, are we ready to get into tonight's topic, Jeremy?
Topic or movie?
Movie. Movie topic.
Yes. The Hitchhiker.
Ooh. No, we're not doing The Hitchhiker. The Hitcher, Jeremy.
Is there a difference?
No, The Hitchhiker's from like 1950 or something.
Yeah, from the 50s.
Well, Jeremy insisted that I pulled this music up, which is from The Hitchhiker Show, also produced by HBO. Which has one great episode, at least, with Bill Paxton.
Oh, it's one of the best.
One of the best Bill Paxton episodes
what was
ever.
That? What was it called? Made for Each Other with Bud Cort.
Yeah,
Another great actor I love.
I'm a big Bud head, in case you didn't know. Bud Cort, you know. I got the shirts and everything.
So, by the way, who do you think was starring in this film?
I mean, there's a lot of big stars. One is Thomas C. Howell.
Who's the other guy?
Soul Man.
Who's the other guy? Is it this guy? This song goes on for 20 minutes. This is the second verse of Rutger Hauer.
Are there like 20 verses in this song?
Yeah.
It's more of a ballad.
The best part is up on stage when the guy sets himself on fire to the effigy of Rutger Hauer.
Wow, Jeremy, that was strong entry.
Oh, the drums are still going. What the fuck?
Hey, I'm Rutger Hauer here, and I just wanted to tell you cats, we got this. So Rutger Hauer, though, it's pretty sad. Rutger Hauer just died, 2 weeks ago, man?
He's only like 78 or something.
Yeah, he's in his 70s, and pretty sad, you know, do you think? Which is pretty interesting. Interesting fact, in the movie that he's probably most well known for, which is Blade Runner, he plays a replicant that dies, has a lifespan that ends in the year 2019. What year is it? Oh, my God! 2019. Isn't that something?
1985?
Yep.
Oh, 2015, because he goes 15 years in the future, or 30 years in the past, or 30 years in the future.
Yeah, so.
And wait, when was Judgment Day? That was like 97?
It was 97 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story, is that he's supposed to die in the year 2019, and it's 2019, and Rutger Hauer died.
Wait a second. Doesn't he have to go back to the past to find out why he's shaking in the future?
I think so.
No, I think he goes back and he gets lost in space.
And it's called Shake.
Yes. You're mixing up your robots.
Shaking Back to the Future. So.
Well,
and he just has to kill as many babies as he can. So.
I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit about the old Rutger Hauer, you know, that he died this many years later. You know?
If ever there was a man that looked like a Nazi, it was truly Rutger Hauer. So.
Rutger Hauer,
the name like Rutger Hauer.
he carried a presence with him, right? Like they said also that during that scene in Blade Runner where he talks about it's like lost like tears in the rain. It was an ad lib line that he did, and that the cast was so moved by his performance in that scene that they had to take the rest of the day off. Have you ever made people take a day off because your acting was so good, Jeremy? Do you think we'll have that in Baby Eater?
I prefer most people on set to just vomit. So. They're like, wow, you really put your heart and soul into that part. Or they cry and just go into a fetal position, so...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But this movie, Rutger Hauer, this is what I really probably remember him most for, is this film, The Hitcher. 1986 is The Hitcher. Now, did this get a theatrical release, or was this straight to HBO?
Very much a theatrical release. I hate to say, seeing it after so long, I can't figure out if this guy named Harmon was actually biting off of Ridley Scott's brother, mm-hmm. or if he was actually Ridley Scott bit off of this film.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I guess Top Gun was out a couple years before, so
that was the same year.
So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, 1986. Yeah.
Okay, so the styles are very much. I didn't check to see if the cinematographer was the same, because the style was just so very, very much like what is his name anyway? The Ridley Scott's brother,
Tony Scott.
Tony Scott. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Tony Scott. I'm Ridley's brother. Hey, you know, I make a lot of gobbledygook movies, too, just like my big brother does. Hey, you ever heard of this movie? I just came up with it. I got the guy from Blade Runner in it. It's called The Hitcher. You're going to love it, baby. Yeah. Hey, I'm Tony Scott, everybody. Yeah, okay.
I almost think that Tony Scott was more... What's the word?
Dead?
Well, dead because he jumped off a bridge, but more successful as a director.
Hey, you know, you always talk about my famous brother Ridley. I'm Tony Scott, though. I mean, he made that movie Alien, but you know what I made? You know what I made? Look at me in the fucking eye when I'm talking to you.
Tony Scott didn't do Alien. That's Ridley
Scott. My brother is the famous one. They keep fucking confusing the two of us. I made the movie The Fucking Hitcher, though. Yay!
No, it was something Harmon.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon.
Ronald Harmon.
Yeah.
I didn't see if it was Mark Harmon's brother,
Did you check his IMDb? Like,
no.
His more recent stuff?
No.
He's done everything Tom Selleck has been in since 2004. Everything. It's ridiculous. Like, in 2004, him and Tom Selleck hook up, and it's a match made in heaven, and they have... been keeping it strong since.
So, like, so he didn't Blue do Bloods. That commercial with him and Farrah Fawcett from like 72, though. So
no, I don't think so.
But yes, they did do a commercial. So,
by the way, if you to our listeners, if you haven't seen the movie The Hitcher, it's completely free. You can watch it on YouTube right now. So you can just look up 1986 is The Hitcher. You watch it for nothing right now.
There was two versions on there. One was like 4 minutes longer. So I don't know if there was like bonus
you saw
material.
The extended cut.
No, I saw the shorter one.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if there was like extra stuff in there, or I don't know.
There's just like 4 more minutes of Rutger Hauer breathing creepily, which is what he does most.
He wasn't in this movie that much, though.
Yeah, I mean, but what he is, he's a show stealer.
Oh,
you know?
Fuck yeah, he is.
Fuck yeah. So the movie begins with Thomas C. Howell. Now, Jeremy, what's the most famous Thomas C. Howell movie that maybe will be a future Quality Time episode?
If I was to be serious, it's either The Outsiders or Rumblefish. I can't tell the difference between the two films. I think they're both in black and white.
But really, what is it?
The one that he's most famous for, uncomfortably, would be Soul Man.
Yes, he stars in the movie Soul Man. Yeah. Which,
in blackface.
Which is it's a movie where he wears blackface so he can get into college.
My favorite.
If you haven't seen Soul Man, let me tell you, not like Soul Plane, which is sequels.
Snoop
nothing
Dogg
like
is
it.
Not in this.
Yes, Snoop Dogg is not in this
my
one.
My favorite line from the trailer is like, "Mom and Dad, I'm black." Yes.
Yes, it is very strong Thomas C. Howell role.
When he puts on that top hat and starts dancing, though, that was the most offensive part of the film.
There's
so.
A lot of offensive
and
parts
sings
of this
Mammy,
movie.
So.
Yes, him and Weird Al Jolson, I'm a big fan of.
Weird Al Jolson.
Shout outs Laugh Finder. That's a Laugh Finder.
Been waiting
bit,
all our time. I've been waiting for the line.
So the movie begins with Thomas E. Howell plays Jim barreling through the desert in the dead of night when it begins to pour down rain. He pulls over to pick up a stranger on the side of the road.
Bless you. My name's Jim Halsey.
John Ryder.
So you want me to drop you off somewhere?
I'm getting your car wet.
Oh, this isn't my car. It's a drive-away. The guy who owns it's in San Diego. So where are you headed?
You got a smoke?
Yeah, sure. You gonna tell me where you're going?
Yeah, sure.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Just looking.
So as they're driving down the road, they see a Volkswagen Beetle that's pulled over, and the hitchhiker then pushes his foot down so he speeds past the disabled vehicle. So things are already getting real weird the second he pick up a stranger.
And at this point, we realize that the name of the film should be Why Never to Pick Up a Replicant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, there's a couple things. A, you know, your parents tell you never to pick up strangers, right? Don't talk to strangers. And by the way, what makes you, when you see Rutger Hauer, like, what about him says, oh, this is a friendly guy that I need to pick up?
This guy looks like a total Nazi. This guy. He was obviously driving a Volkswagen, which is probably like a Ted Mundy mobile, which is probably at least going to be 10 dead women in.
Everything about his face says, I'm going to fucking murder you. You understand? Yeah. There's nothing about
He's
it
like
that's
always
like,
intense. Nah, just like, oh,
legit.
Hey, why
die? Pick him up. Right? There's nothing about him that's inviting.
The only part I miss about this scene is that I wish that Rutger Hauer, when he was asked these questions, would be saying, you don't need to know where I'm going. I'm a hitcher.
Oh, so, titular line.
So the titular line. Titular line.
Well, I feel like the titular line comes more at the end and the truck stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there is a titular line. Good, good.
No, no, I don't think it is, but like it fits more than
but
that.
But she is a legit hitch at that point.
She is hitched. I get what you're... She is hitched.
Titular line through visual format! We're going to have to make a new song for it. So anyway, Thomas C. Howell is... Jim is a little bit freaked out, and he tells him to get out of the car, and he opens up the door where it's still pouring rain in the desert, and he just puts out the cigarette with the rain, and then he turns
right away,
back.
Right away, like, oh, fuck this.
And he turns back, and he goes...
I'm going to sit here. You're gonna drive. Excuse me.
What was the matter with that car back there?
Why?
I said I saw something, that's all.
I ran out of gas.
So you need a gas station?
Would help.
Okay.
Gas stations have cigarettes.
Hey, you like Oingo Boingo? And just
what about gas?
I don't need gas.
What do you want?
This is like any normal car ride that I ever had with anybody. So
yeah, this is literally everywhere I've driven Jeremy. And I, where are we going?
You wouldn't believe whose legs I just cut off.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if I ever found myself in this situation, right, I just buckle my seatbelt and I aim the telephone pole for the passenger side, right? Yeah. At this point, like, I'm not going to fuck with this guy. This is out of control.
But this was before airbags.
Yeah. Ooh, my...
Only Eddie Furlong could live in an accident with airbags.
All right, let's hear...
Because he lives on the edge.
let's hear the rest of this awkward situation with the hitcher here.
What's so funny?
That's what the other guy said.
Who's the other guy?
The guy who was driving that car back there. The guy who picked me up before you did.
Was that him in the car?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Couldn't have walked very far.
Why is that?
Because I cut off his legs. And his arms.
See, this is where I thought I fucked up. I bet you're wondering how I got in this situation. Well,
you say he cut off his arms and his legs?
Yeah. Well, that would he'd
like,
have some,
what?
You know what? I think he would have some problems.
Because when I watched it first, I thought he was just like, he cut up. Like, he just, like, slashed his arms, slashed his legs.
Yeah, well, you know, in the back of his head, he's like, well, maybe he's all right.
That's impossible. Okay. Nobody can cut through a femur.
With that pocket knife.
Yeah, with a switchblade. It seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah, you gotta use like a chainsaw.
Let's see what else he has to say. Maybe this guy's okay.
You know, this is not only my favorite movie, but it's also my other favorite series of movies. Mm-hmm. Like the one time when the next see Thomas Howell, he picks up a guy on the side of the road and he's dressed up like a baseball player. It's called The Pitcher.
The Pitcher.
So,
I like it.
And then
it.
He picks up like an undead guy who's like a weird demon spirit. And that's called the Licher.
The Licher. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
And his head.
Okay. You cut his head off.
That's believable.
You know what? That usually affects your motor functions at that point. I'm pretty
no
solid.
No need to cut off anything else.
Yeah. And I'm going to do the same to you.
What?
No.
Did you get the screen grab of Thomas Howell's face?
Yeah.
He's like, what?
I'm a soul man.
I'm a soul. So they're driving down the street through the desert, and they pull up to some construction ahead, and the construction worker starts to chat with Jim. He tries to bum a smoke. Everybody's just trying to bum smokes from Thomas C. Howell everywhere he goes. And the hitcher then grabs his inner thigh, because the best way to see why they're acting weird is to act real gay. So he was ahead of his time, because the construction worker is like, look at these fairies. Let the gays through. I've seen
Have
enough.
Fun, sweethearts.
I was really curious as what was in the car until I saw they were doing gay things. That's when I stopped being curious.
So they let him right on through, but, you know.
He does put a switchblade to his balls, though. It's like, hey,
yeah, he pulls
try anything. You're getting a switchblade in your nutsack.
And yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I'm anti-switchblade to the balls. It's a very,
I feel very strongly
about it.
I've stuck your balls with a knife and put your head in a vice. You still wouldn't tell me about what's his name?
So they drive further down the road, but the chances for Jim to get out of this are few and far between. As the conversation sparks back up.
You want to know what happens to an eyeball when it gets punctured?
You know, that wasn't something I was wondering.
It's just really full of, like, just nice, cool things to talk about on a long car ride.
Hey, do you want to talk about moonlighting? Because moonlighting was real good. If I could just change the subject a little bit. I mean, I really like it. What do you think of Bruce Willis? Do you think they're going to get, him and Sybil are going to get together in that show? Or?
Meanwhile, Rucker, I was like, I haven't caught up
you
yet.
You got any idea?
You bastard, you said spoiler free.
How much blood jets out of a guy's neck when his throat's been slit? What do you want?
This is just normal gay foreplay anyway, so. At least for virgins.
You'll stick me with it before I can do anything.
That's right. So what have we got to lose? Stop me. Crying isn't gonna help.
Please. I'll do anything.
Say four words.
Okay.
Say,
I'll suck your dick.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though it sounds strange, it could be quite atrocious.
I'm going to say Mix 106.5, and you're going to say the station that pays. Strong, right?
Or else I stick this in your eye.
So,
or you could win $1,000.
Hey, you just won $1,000. You're on Rutger Howard's Punks.
And you win some cut off legs.
Say what?
I want to die. Say it.
I don't know if I can say that.
Sure you can. Repeat after me.
I
want.
What? What? To
die.
It's awesome because he's like,
I don't want to die!
So he opens up the door. He sees the door ajar, and he just opens the door and then shoves him out going like 50 miles per hour.
This is what all parents are afraid of, is that, you know, the kid doesn't close the door right and you just push him right out by accident.
Yeah.
So
that was a strong move by Thomas E. Howe. By the way, he's very excited after that happens. You know, you get a serial killer out of your car just by shoving him out. You look back and then...
Yeah.
You're pretty excited.
Yeah. 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 Ah, fuck you, buddy.
So honestly, great start to the movie. The first act is very intense. I mean, watching close-ups of Rutger Hauer in this is just, it's unsettling the entire time. You're just like, just the way he holds a cigarette in his mouth is fucking creepy.
Can I say the only thing I think that could have made this movie better is if C. Thomas Howell was instead Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I would have. I could tell you the one thing I feel like this thing was missing was just a better score. Like, if this had John Carpenter-esque music played with it, man, this movie would be a knock out of the fucking park.
It really seemed like I didn't check who the composer was, that it was really trying to be Tangerine Dream-like.
Yeah, but there wasn't...
Not that it's up to par,
the synth music is just all just tones that they put in there, and they have a lot of stuff where it's just him talking with no music, and I kind of wish it just had some audio behind it to really add to the creepiness.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there is... They really just relied on Rutger Hauer carrying the moment a lot through this.
Look, if you can't afford your composer to do music... It's going to cost several hundred more dollars to put some fog hat in there.
Yeah.
You know? Real ride.
Slow ride.
Cut the legs off. Cut the head off, yeah. I want to die.
So, the crazy taxicab confessional from hell is now over. He's all good. He drives into the next day.
He'll probably never see him again.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this movie's over, everybody. Look, I made it out just fine. But the next day passes, and he sees a family pass him in a station wagon. By the way, what a pussy that he's driving so slow that a station wagon carrying a boat is just passing him in a fucking... he's driving like a Cadillac, which clearly has a big engine in wide open spaces. He's not speeding. Anyway,
yeah.
So the family goes past him, and then he's playing with the kids and kind of making little sounds out the window. When he sees the hitcher through the back of there, he tries to speed up and tell them to pull over, that they have a fucking maniac in the car. But he ends up clipping a bus and almost getting into a head-on collision and careening off the side of the road. And as the unknowing family just carries that monster down the road with them. He regains himself and he takes off after him, only to find the station wagon miles down the road, the family butchered. He throws up everywhere and ends up getting some blood on his shoes in the process. There's not a lot of gore in this movie at all.
I thought it was more gore. Like,
yeah, I remember going back to it, but no, everything is in your mind that you watching this. They
but
don't
that
show really.
To die.
Yeah, fuck them. They're dumbass bitch.
Hey, I'll pick you up. Also, climbing the back of my kids.
Yeah,
real
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Touch little Jimmy back there. He's real friendly. hey, he's good friends with Tony Scott. that's Ridley Scott's brother. All right. Anyway,
if you don't have enough gore in a film, you could always have me, Al Gore.
Oh, Al Gore.
welcome to another allegory with Al Gore. This is where I explore the darker sides of life.
I ever told you when I met the dark one. So, I'm actually George Takei. Thank
what
you.
What are Hello. You talking about?
Oh, my.
So, so he goes further down the road and finds an abandoned gas station, and in typical white person horror movie fashion, goes in and checks it out. The phone is, of course, dead. The hitcher all of a sudden walks into this abandoned lot and... drops a pair of keys at his feet. I guess we're supposed to assume they're his keys that he pulled out of like Thomas C. Howell's thing. He's like, here's your fucking keys, and just gives him that back. He goes out to go see the hitcher, is now getting another ride from a guy in a black truck, but it's too late. He can't warn him that that dude's a bad dude. So
I can't, after seeing this for the third or fourth time now, I don't even think that the hitcher was a real person. I think he is like the devil.
You think he's a legit devil?
That he just
devil.
Literally just shows up, and though even though he can be blasted with a shotgun and like die, he can still get up, and he's just the undead. So he's like a demon or something.
He's just haunting that highway.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I think he's just
everything
death.
About this movie has like the potential for a big twist at the end. You know, like he's yeah. actually he actually is Thomas C. Howell. This
that's
entire
what I was
kind of
thinking.
That would be a good twist. Yeah, they set it up twist. To be that, and then you don't even spoiler it. You don't get that. Yeah. He's just a real guy.
And then the greatest thing
him.
Is if Jennifer Jason Leigh was still alive, and he's like, "Don't you see him over there?" And she's like, "I don't see anything. You're insane." Oh, let's talk about the other important point of this film is that in the old gas station, there's this, like a super old rotary phone on
yeah,
the wall.
Yeah, which is pretty badass. I like
and
that.
And I don't want to spoil it later. The only other phone that I see in this film, other than the one that he dials in the diner, is in the hotel room, and that's a rotary phone as well. Mm. So, which for the 80s is still pretty bad. If you had a rotary phone in the 80s, you were living in the freaking past.
Yeah, yeah, Jerry. The only rotary phone I ever remember seeing was at the old Christ and Country Church that we used to attend, and they had a rotary phone in the basement. That's the only way I knew how to use one was by fucking
Christ
around with
and
that.
Country, huh?
Yeah, Christ and Country. We were in a cult. It was cool. it was pretty badass. We grew
they had
up
good
really
juice,
cool.
right?
Look,
yeah, yeah.
If you don't believe in church with some strychnine and snakes, then you just go to hell with you. We only had one person die every week. So
he drives off after the hitcher and to go find him. Now he's but as he's driving down the road, he all of a sudden gets bumped from behind. It's the goddamn hitcher. It's fucking Rutger Hauer driving the same black truck and now bumping him and ramming him from behind. the hitcher then takes off into the desert, vanishing once again into the vast, which it shouldn't be possible to disappear in the middle of the desert, right? Like,
yeah.
Like there's literally, you're just giving off a dust cloud like you're fucking Pig Pen. They're like, no, he's driving right there. I could see the giant shadow of dust that he's yeah. kicking up through the desert as he's crushing rattlesnakes.
Well, like, I wrote down in my notes, like, mm-hmm. cars come out of nowhere in this open,
yes,
long, just straight road. They're just coming out of nowhere.
He's just like, you know, I was just listening to NPR and I got lost. He got lost into those...
Just lost
those,
in the dulcet tones of Terry Gross.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, he's listening to what's his name, the guy who used to, was on NPR.
This American
McGinty.
Life?
Oh, God. Yeah, the
This
home,
American Life?
Yeah, no, Prairie Home Companion. He's just listening to Prairie Home Companion the whole time.
He's listening to the car guys.
Yeah.
So, click and clack.
So you have a 76 Chrysler. Tell me more. Why does it make a clackety noise after 40 miles? An hour. My brother will try to tell you.
So he goes to stop at the next gas station. This one appears to be unattended as well, but less broken down. You can see a phone inside, but it's locked. He walks back out to the pumps when all of a sudden that black pickup truck comes crashing through the garage doors, almost running him over, and in the process taking out a couple of the pumps. He narrowly avoids getting fucking crushed like a pancake as the gas just spews all over him, and he's getting fucking covered in gasoline. And the hitcher inches forward and then rolls down the window and lights a match as Thomas C. Howell sees what's about to happen, which is a fucking cannibal holocaust right in front of his eyes. The match gets tossed out there. He makes a run for it and luckily is able to get into his car before all of the flames ignite him and roll up the windows. And he drives off in his Cadillac, which is now looks like the fucking Ghost Rider.
I
like,
I
it's
fucking put
fucking
that down.
Badass.
Like, see Thomas Howell as Ghost Rider.
Dude, oh, it's so cool. I will say that, first of all, this movie's metal as shit. Like, the fact it needs like a and just driving down with the flames fucking pouring out of that thing.
Soundtrack
so
by
cool.
Warrant.
Hell yeah.
Or Poison.
By Winger. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
My car's only 17. 17. Can we go back to our old church?
I have sex with Jeffrey Epstein. Nah, nah, nah. Yeah, right? No?
Hell
no?
Yeah. Very timely.
Do you like that?
It makes me want to curl up into a fetal position in my cell.
That was a fucking buttery riff I had right there. All right?
Yeah. Make more Epstein songs from now on.
Hell yeah.
You know, the one thing that you might have noticed, to not change the subject too bad, about our old church was all the bullet holes inside the inside the church where you could openly just fire guns over your head during any sermons. So.
You guys went to church with your 70s Sam?
Yeah, yes. It was a big deal back in the day, you know?
We believed in freedom extreme, so.
Hell yeah, dude.
But it'd be funny if we did.
I mean, what do you mean, if we did? That's 100% what happened, Jeremy. Don't let them in
I
on
wish.
The
For services
the
like,
secret.
What in tarnation, the kingdom of heaven? Psh, psh,
psh. If it's one thing we don't stand for, it's these wascally rabbits. Am I right, Brother Fudd?
Why do you have such a long mustache? Biggest handlebar mustache I've ever seen.
We believe in one thing and one thing only, that our congregation will inherit the look of a Wyatt Earp every single week in, week out. It's the way God intended us to look. As if we could just shoot guns through our mustache.
There's only one thing I ask, that during the prayer, you can withhold from your gunfire so you can actually hear the prayer. And then right after the prayer, you can go back to your gunfire. So.
Oh, man. Well,
we're going to be having another gathering of the tithe so we can repair the roof for another week. So.
Please stay tuned for our next sermon series as we get into the trials and tribulations of the evil Daffy Duck. The man who was originally like a Bugs, but a duck, and then was converted into one of the pure.
He always had his sign either saying duck season or rabbit season.
Hell yeah. We'll also talk about the Amen. We'll also talk about our less fortunate brothers of the big red monster that never was able to speak. And then,
oh, Gossamer.
Welcome to the Church of Looney Tunes. I'll say.
Praise Jesus.
Can I get a praise the Lord for Tweety Bird? I like that Tweety Bird was co-opted by every white trash woman in the 90s. Yeah. Like, every white trash woman wore a Tweety Bird shirt.
And they were on the arm of every white trash dude with a Taz shirt.
Oh, Taz was the dudes. Girls were Tweety. If you were over 300 pounds, you were either Taz or Tweety. That was it.
Wait a second. You can't be her. She had a happy face on her butt back then. Oh, my gosh!
Well, before we get much more into it, I think that's going to bring us to an end of episode
break
one.
Time.
I think it's going to be break time.
Break time.
And we're going to join you back next week. Mr. Crab, where can people find you? Where can we find you doing comedy? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
If any bookers are listening to this, hit me up on Instagram, Dan Crab. And
DC. Respect.
Yeah. And on Twitter at Dano Crab.
Hey, I can say you had a great set the other night at Kelsey's. I saw
Thank
you at
you.
Kelsey's
I
Pub.
Was
it, was,
terrified.
It was really fun. It was a good packed house, man.
Yeah,
you did
was.
A good job, dude.
Definitely come out to that show every Thursday, I think.
Yeah. Shout
Everybody
out.
Everybody loves Kelsey Grammer.
Hell yeah. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free the second Saturday of every month, hosted by the very lovely former guest host here, Kimberly Callahan, and my buddy and partner, Mr. Mike Quinlan. You can check me out on Laugh Finder week to week. That's the D&D-based show that I'm on with Tommy Simbazo and past guests. Leave us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. DieLaughingProductions.com is another place you can find me. Jeremy, take us out.
All of these and these will be verloren, was ein Tier auf der Regnet.
Okay. That'll work.